Dear friends in Christ, let's grab our outlines. I want to go through the text that we have. I want to look at two texts with you this morning. You'll see from the title, I concentrate on two things. Now, I chose the text having to do with one of the purposes that we have this morning at our church service. And I'll share that purpose with you at the conclusion of the sermon. But any time that I get the opportunity to connect with you and explicitly connect about God-centeredness and serving others is a joy for me, is just something that I want to do all the more, and something that I want to empower you with. Because what happens often is that we're forced to choose between two things. We either will be God-focused, and then the sensitivity to people and their needs will suffer, or we will be people-focused, and then God will not be noticed in the works of love that we do. And I think what happens is we fall off on one side or the other. We get all concerned with the purity of doctrine and doing things absolutely theologically right and okay as far as all the churchy stuff is concerned, but we grow cold to loving people. Then on the other side, you know, we serve others, and that is more important, and there's less emphasis on deep devotion to God and sound teaching. Now, the devil surely wants us to feel that it's an either or, and I think doesn't really care which side you fall on. Whether it would be God-focused and uncaring, or there'd be people-focused and not giving God the glory. But of course God does, and that's our concentration to look at this morning, to seek to really understand that. You know, in our gospel reading, I have the time when the Pharisees came to Jesus and they asked him which was the greatest commandment. Jesus answered in a way that really frustrated the Pharisees. Because Jesus suggests this, that loving God should move us to love others. And that loving others should point people to God. Jesus said the greatest commandment is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And I wonder if when he said it, he paused to look at the face of the Pharisees. This group of people that were just zealous, they were absolute zealous to do God's will, to be focused on God. And did he stop to look at their sense of gratitude and self-righteousness on their face? As he went to the next point, and he said that the second greatest commandment is like it. Notice he says like it. He says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments hangs the law and the prophets. Jesus keeps together what so often gets separated. God-centeredness with serving others. Love God, love God, love God. We should love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our might. That's what God wants us to do. But this cannot be reduced to just loving people. If it could, the second commandment would not be necessary. Now, the second commandment is like the first, but it is not the same. And they together sum up the law and the prophets. There's a tragedy that happens in churches. And the tragedy is twofold. One, that our serving God collapses into just serving people. And it's a subtle danger, it's a subtle thing that creeps in. You know, Jesus said, if you do it as unto the least of these, my brethren, you're doing it as you did to me. But what I've noticed is that sometimes that can kind of just move into a mist and a fog as to what we're doing, why we're doing it, and devotion to God kind of dissolves in our attempts just to do good for others. In Namibia, where we lived for many years, there's areas of the country that don't get any rain, and a Bushman group lives out in those areas. Now, I know people in their teens who have never seen rain fall from the sky. It just doesn't rain. And yet in the desert, they have mist that comes in off the coast, and that mist comes in and it settles on the dunes in the desert. And there's specialized plants that grow there that actually live and become green and survive just on the mist. But these plants can only grow in that special environment. If you take them elsewhere, they will not survive. And they only grow for a little season. You know, I want to tell you that humanitarian work is good. It is awesome. It is a beautiful thing, and it changes the world. It does a great service. But I believe that people want more. They need more. They're hungry for more. You see, people have a hole in them, and they need that to be filled with something that's going to last for eternity. Something that's going to sustain them, not just for a season, not just for a time, but something that they can bank for all time, something that we can hope for throughout all of eternity. People are hungry for that, that our works for love would point people to God that has universal application and will last for eternity. You know, and the tragedy at the same time, as I was saying, it's twofold. We can be so concerned with our focus on Scripture and our focus on doctrine that it fails to yield the fruit of love in people. A form of worship will replace faithful witness. And even study of God's power. It's hard to imagine how this could be. Could replace us serving people. Prayer can replace active daily compassion. Now I want to share with you, this is something that you guys need to know, church, is we have a reputation in this community. We really do. I'll tell you, I could go through the list, I could list pastors who have talked with me. People who are not members of this church, who have been touched by our works of love. It is amazing. We are a loving, we have a reputation even within our circuit as being one of the most loving and giving congregations. This is a beautiful thing, dear people. It is a wonderful thing. God has given us this as a gift. It's such a powerful testimony that we have. But what I want to do is I want to add to that gift. I want to strengthen you and encourage you in that sharing. It's so important for us to do. And the way that I want to do that is I want to give you something. You see the verse on the screen there. That's going to give us the structure, because what we need to do is we need to constantly get God's framework into our mind. We need to have our minds transformed to see our loving, because it comes from God first. It comes from God through Jesus Christ, and then it goes out to others. And in this verse from Hebrews chapter 6, it'll give us that framework. It'll give us the understanding. And so I want to go through 4 points from this. And I invite on your outline, you can write additional notes if you wish. It will help you. Hold on to that. Because I want to end with 2 encouragements for you as you live your life in Christ. Now you'll notice in this verse, let me read it for you. I'll read right off the outline as we have it. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you demonstrated for His name by having served the saints and continuing to serve them. 4 things to see in this verse. The first thing, let me look at the first 2 on the list because they apply really to God. And the one thing that I want you to see is start with the second point there, is God's memory is great. God has the best memory. He never forgets. He never forgets anything. And that is an actual awesome thing, because God remembers every single thing that you do. He never forgets it. And the second thing is that God is fair, it says in your outline. The text says God is just. He's righteous. How is He righteous? How is He just? Well, let me give you an example. How many times have you done something for somebody and never been noticed? How many times have you done a good work and you shared with somebody and nobody's ever seen it? How about you've done something for somebody and you've worked really hard at it, you had a plan in mind, and it just didn't work out? Matter of fact, it turned bad. You know, how many times have you planned to do something? Maybe, I know this has happened to me, try to do something for your spouse or for a friend or for your kids, and the words just get in the way and you're not able to express it, or it just simply doesn't turn out as you planned. Well, I want to tell you that God sees your heart. So don't be discouraged, because God sees and He never forgets. And He keeps a record of that. And He knows that. And so He wants you to be empowered to know that God sees everything that you're doing, and He knows your heart, even if it didn't turn out right. Don't get sidetracked with that. If God, you know, God is with you, He's empowering you, and He sees the good efforts and the things that we do. And you know, it's all about giving a blessing in His name. Think how great His name is. There are so many ways that God describes Himself. He is the God who provides. He is the God who sees. He is the God who loves. He is the God who cares. He is the God of all comfort. He is the God who is there. It's the last verse of Ezekiel. So many descriptions God's given us of His name, of who He is. We take that as our encouragement. That's who we're sharing. We need that name in our lives. People need that name in this world. It speaks grace to them. It speaks wonderful blessing to them. So God's memory is awesome. It is great. It is perfect. And He is totally just. He sees what we do and He remembers that. And we keep serving. You know, God has given us the opportunity to share. He has opened up doors for us. He has given you your life. He's given that as a gift from God. It comes down from Him, and He's placed you where you are so you're able to share. So let me just end with two really powerful, I pray, encouraging encouragements for you in your walk with God. You know, as I was saying, God remembers, and He is just. And we don't often think about it like this. But when we think about God not forgetting, the Bible teaches us something. As a matter of fact, in the book of Hebrews, it says this explicitly three times. And the last verse in your reading, it says this. Is that we need to expect God to reward. We need to expect God. Now, the thing is when someone really knows that they are forgiven by Jesus Christ, and they're not working their way to heaven, they're not trying to earn God, they're not doing their good in order to get God to notice them. But they know how much God's grace is. And when you share and when you do good, God wants to encourage you that He sees that, and He will pay you back. And He wants you to live in that expectation and that encouragement. It actually says later on in the book of Hebrews that anybody that comes to God should believe that He exists and expect Him to reward those who seek Him. Now that's an encouragement for us, because you're going to be discouraged at times. And you need to know that I'm not doing this for this person, I'm doing this for God. And God remembers, and God is just. And the other encouragement that I want to leave you with is has to do with God's justice. Now, so often we think of God's justice as bringing us into judgment for our sins. And then we think of God's mercy as rescuing us from judgment because Christ died in our place. Now, both those things are true. But that's not the focus of this verse right here. The focus of this verse is looking at God's justice very differently. Is that what's happening in this is that it is actually God that is working in you. That it is God that's actually working in your life. And we need the perseverance and we need the persistence to believe that when we do good, God is going to work. He's going to respond. He's going to come to us. He's going to meet. He's going to help us. And that needs to be our focus, that we look and we believe, because it is very discouraging. You need to bring your things before God and to believe that He is actually working in your relationships. He's actually working in your finances. He's actually working to bring the strength that you need. You know, this is how God looks at you and me. When we turn the other cheek, when we serve someone not expecting to get anything back, when we love, God looks and He goes, ah, there's something beautiful there. God says, that's My work. That's something that I'm doing. It's my great work that I want to uphold. I will honor that work. I will preserve that work. I will bless that work, God says. And we can have the hope when we're looking at something for God to bless that He will help us. That He will and He is involved in that. And that's meant to encourage us. That's meant to strengthen us and give us the perseverance to hope and the encouragement that we need. God sees. And God is working. In your outline, I put a verse there that it says, "For it is God who works in you to will and act according to His good purpose." And my prayer is this, for you and for myself, that the faith that we share will make us understand every blessing, every freedom, every goodness and grace that we have in Christ. God's love for us is the most amazing, wonderful gift that we could ever have. And He has made a commitment to you to love you, to protect you, to watch over you. That's a beautiful gift. And He is going to continue doing that, and He wants us to extend that confidence. He does not want us to live sad and miserable lives. He wants us to live in the hope that He is watching over us, He is protecting us, He is keeping us. And with that assurance, we share it with others as confidence that we have in Christ. May God bless us and strengthen us in this beautiful, wonderful grace. In Jesus' name, amen.